Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on our social media platforms at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us again on The Final Word. Before I launch today's exposition, I want to make our listening audience aware of not only the books that I have authored, but some articles that I have written and tell you how to access them. Over the years, I have done a good deal of writing, as time allows, to prepare resources that I think should be helpful to you, our listeners. If you will go to jimandrewsbooks.com, that's one word, jimandrewsbooks.com, you will find there information describing the books I have authored, one of them co-authored with my daughter. On the same website, you'll see a tab that says Articles. You will discover there are some articles that I produced over the years that you may find interesting and helpful. For example, one of the most recent articles was my take on the demise of the culture wars and where I think we ought to go from here. Another article that appeared several years ago in a journal for biblical manhood and womanhood is entitled Boundaries Without Bonds. Another is a rebuttal of a tract that appeared several years back. The author attempted cleverly, but as I will show unsuccessfully, to persuade us that the Scriptures do not condemn homosexual practice. After all, that has all been a misunderstanding. Well, there will be others, but I mentioned those three. I'm not a regular blogger, but when sometimes things pop up on my radar that I feel I would like to address in a thoughtful way, I will sometimes produce a longer article like some of these. So I'm just happy to share them with you for whatever benefit they may have. Today, we're going to begin a series entitled Marriage Without Remorse. Now, as I begin this program, a kind of word of apology in one sense. My forte, the gift that God has given me, is biblical exposition. That is what I do, and that is what I love to do. But once in a while, there is a theme or subject matter that simply cannot be handled in the way that I normally teach, that is, verse by verse and book by book. And one of those is the matter of marriage. You can find passages, of course, that deal with marriage, like Ephesians chapter 5. But there's a lot to say about the subject, and you have to reach in other parts of the Scripture in order to address those. So we're forced by the nature of the case to approach the topic biblically, but more topically. I regret that, but that is just the reality of the matter. But marriages are in such bad shape, there is so much domestic torment, that I wanted to address this subject, and I think I have something to say. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I want to introduce this subject, and I want to, before we actually jump into it, because I think you will perhaps want friends of yours or relatives of yours, or you may need a little motivation yourself to get into it. You may not be a married person. You may be single. You may be a widow or a widower. But you know people who need this. And if nothing else, you can direct them to our archives where they can listen to the message if they're not in our broadcast area. I will not bore you with a lot of statistics. I don't think anybody has any doubt that marriages today are dying on the right and the left. And some are living in what we might call dead marriages. And this doesn't have to be. I want to give you hope. Now, I'm going to say something that might shock you, might put you off, but hear me out. Folks, people say, I hear it redundantly, marriage is hard. I understand what they're saying, but I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be hard. I've been married over 50 years, and I want to tell you, it is not hard. It is not hard if, and I'll be talking to you about all of those ifs. So we're going to be speaking in this next series about Married Without Regret, Bringing Your B-Game, B-E. And every message will start with that, be this or be that, and you'll get it fixed. So marriage doesn't have to be regrettable. It doesn't even have to be difficult, and certainly doesn't need to be dull or a boring state to live in. Folks, people make it all of those things when one or both partners ignore the social rules that should govern our marital interactions and disregard biblical principles that should light our flight path like runway beacons. I tell you, friends, marriage is not rocket science. The only problem is that it takes two, I repeat, two conscientious people consistently relating to each other unselfishly. That's the biggest problem. If one is self-absorbed and indifferent about doing his or her part, then yes, the wheels come off. I will go so far as to say this. If I went out and arranged a marriage between two people who had never seen each other in their lives, and both would bring their B game, B-E as I call it, to the marital table, I dare say that that marriage would not only survive, but the partners to that union would at least wind up good friends, if not actually in love. Not that I recommend that procedure, though it was the norm in the ancient world and still is in some parts of the world to this day. I'm just saying that the things that put the fizz in marriage and keep it a joyful union throughout a lifetime are not the things that you so often hear about. Marriage is not about continuing to look like a sexy fox or maintaining a trim figure or keeping hard abs or a full head of hair, a nice set of white teeth, or a prescription of Viagra. What stupidity! That stuff is garbage. It's your B game, as in B-E, that makes a marriage without regret. Now, before I go any further, let me share with you my resume to speak on this subject. First of all, I was raised under a roof where I had two great models of the B game in marriage. In fact, though most were not even Christians, the majority of my uncles and aunts, though none at that time were believers, had wonderfully satisfying marriages because they brought most of the B game to the table, and I was there to see that. Thirdly, over the years in the church, I have seen up close and personal my share of happy, fulfilling, and long-enduring marriages, and I know why. I was there. Fourth, and this is most important, I know what God's Word teaches about marital union. And finally, I have watched a lot of marriages crash and burn, and in many instances, I know specifically what torpedoed them. I cannot say, however, that your marriage can be saved if you, as one partner, do what I prescribe, because, as I said earlier, it takes two, and oftentimes, sorrowfully, one will not fully cooperate or maybe not cooperate at all. In my last message or two in this series, I will impart some pastoral advice to you who are either unequally yoked, spiritually speaking, or to you who are married to, there's no other way to put it, to a stiff. Or, at least for now, you can't expect too much help from the other side of the domestic aisle. I will address that subject. Again, I want to stress that this marriage game is much like football or a basketball game. In this sense, the thing that separates the winners from the losers is usually a lack of execution of the game plan, the biblical game plan, or just neglect of basic fundamentals. Folks, listen to me. You absolutely do not need to spend a fortune in counseling. Not that I have any fundamental objection. But, Jim, you may say, we don't even know what our problems are. And to that, I respond, they're somewhere here. You're not executing the game plan. You're not playing the B game. From here, where I sit, I don't know for sure. But you will be able to discover that if you listen to this series. In fact, I will say in one of my messages, you just fix it right here, right here, and your marriage will probably be put level again. I can say that. I'm thinking of one particular message I will bring, and I will say, fix it here. And I could cure 90% of the broken marriages in America. Now, let me explain something about our use of the scriptures during this topical series, not my usual fare. This is very important to understand. The Bible is not, I repeat, it is not a marriage manual, nor does it provide us in any one part a blueprint for identifying and resolving every type of marital issues couples occasionally face. That said, the scriptures do give us sufficient guidance about marriage formation and maintenance that if couples were to heed them, no marriage would ever need to fail. Moreover, a lot of the relevant wisdom that the scriptures provide is not about marriage per se, but broad social guidance that applies preeminently to domestic life, though, as I say, it was not written specifically for domestic application. By inference, however, we can appropriate those lessons, carry them over into our marriages with great benefit. Generally speaking, what makes for good relationships with others enhances and enriches our own marital relationships. My promise? I can tell anyone in America how to form a great marriage, and I can tell you how to restore one. The recipe is guaranteed so long as, here's the stipulation, so long as two people get in the game. At the end of the day, only a sociopath could resist really loving the spouse. Now, you want to know, all right, what are you going to talk about? And I'm going to give you just a little preview. And then starting with our next study, we'll get specifically into these topics. I will talk to you about this be centered. Be centered on Christ, based on Philippians 2, one mind and one purpose. Wasn't addressed to marriage, but the principle applies. I will talk to you about being servants to one another, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21. I will talk to you about being forgiving of one another, Colossians 3. 13. That's so very, very important. We'll talk about why we must forgive the offenses of others against us. And then we'll raise the question, how can we forgive the offenses of others against us? Thirdly, we'll talk about how we know we have forgiven the offenses of others against us. Then we'll talk about being faithful to one another. Beware of taking vows lightly. Under this heading of being faithful, I will include informal infidelity, like involvement in pornography, office or online flirtations and such, what these days we might call virtual infidelity, in addition to formal adultery. We'll talk in that particular study about why people are unfaithful, not in any way to justify infidelity, but it's interesting to know how people excuse themselves for being unfaithful. There is never any excuse for it, and there is a heavy price to pay for it. We'll have much to say that I think will be of great interest. Then we'll talk about being considerate of one another. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12, Colossians 3, 12 through 13. So important. And here's another. We'll talk about being communicative. I have found over the course of my ministry that there are all kinds of problems, but I'm amazed how often this is a contributor to an unsatisfying marital relationship. I find it not always, but generally, on the male side of the equation. I don't know what it is about men that they tend to love and woo, and socially they seem to be very satisfactory until they get married, and then all of a sudden they turn something off. Then they just become grunters and don't have sense enough, oftentimes, to realize what the needs of the average woman are. And consequently, they really drop the ball. So we'll explain what it means to be communicative. Then we'll talk in another study about being financially responsible. Be financially responsible as good stewards of the gifts of God. Many people put way too much pressure on their relationship by getting financially in debt up to their gills. It's common knowledge that one of the greatest contributors to broken down marriages is acquisitive, materialistic couples getting in over their heads, and then the bickering and the blame gaming start to tear them apart. For some reason, modern couples seem to have a sense of materialistic entitlement. Fewer and fewer seem to know the first thing about delaying gratification of pleasure. The advertising world tells us redundantly in 1,000 different ways that we need it, we want it, we just have to have it, and must have it sooner rather than later. No matter what it costs, our kids, yes, our kids, they must go everywhere. They must have seen everything. They must have done everything before they are 3 years old. No matter that we spend so much on them that they will be bored numb by the time they are teenagers, if not before, we will go in debt for it. We'll talk about that issue. We'll talk about honoring God with the first fruits of your harvest and partnering in the gospel and assisting those who are in need, as I say, being good stewards of the gifts of God, and give you along the way some very practical advice. Then we will talk about being adaptable. That is big. Sometimes one or the other partner in a marriage just seems to be stiff as rebar when it comes to change. There is no way when two people live together that you can't be flexible. We come from different environments. We were sometimes raised with different values. And part of serving one another is being adaptable, being willing to change. I remember, and I'll give you the short story of this, and it'll come later. I'll tell it again. I'm not bashful. I remember early in our marriage, I guess Aussie and I had probably been married about 4 or 5 years. And me, somewhat slow of mind, I began to realize that she was better at managing finances than I. I wasn't bad, but I realized that she, like her father and mother and like her maternal grandmother, were just specially gifted in that way. And finally one day, as Aussie kept looking over my shoulder, I said, "Honey, why don't you just take over this?" And I made an agreement with her. I said, "Look, I'll not spend anything that you don't want me to spend. You just manage this." What I was doing is not abrogating my responsibility. I was delegating my responsibility. And it was one of the smarter moves that I've ever made domestically. It's a good thing because in my ministry, I never made much, first pastoring and then teaching in Bible college and seminary. Sometimes it was almost near poverty standards. May have been. In some cases, I never looked, but it was down there. But we didn't live that way, and it was because of her. I changed. And then we had, somewhere along the line, there was something in that equation that was really getting under my skin. And one day, I think we'd been married, I'd have to go back and do a little math, but I think maybe we'd been married about 14 years. And on one particular day, I just regurgitated it all. And Aussie and I had a battle royal. It's probably the worst one we've ever had in our entire marriage. But it resulted in a change. She still manages all the money, but she was pretty tight, pretty rigid in the way she managed it. But bless her heart, she saw that there had to be one change in the way that we did that. And that made things better for me, and it made it better for her. In a marriage, you have to be adaptable. And people who don't get that are going to struggle, and they're going to have battles and tension. Then we will talk about be biblically regulated and what all that means. And that means to be wise. I'll give you the Ten Commandments of domestic common sense. Then we will come to a unhappy topic as we wind the series down. We'll talk about living with a loser. There's no way around it. Sometimes people get stuck with bad apples. Hosea did. There have been great ministers of the gospel. Doesn't usually happen, but people like John Wesley, who got stuck, there's no other way to say it, with a woman who was just a shrew. And it was a good thing that his ministry was of an itinerant kind, because it would have been hard for any mortal to endure a wife like he had. Most of us have been blessed with women who stand beside us through thick and thin. But sometimes a good woman, it doesn't happen often, we'll talk about that, but a really good woman will get a bad man, or a really good man will wind up with a fundamentally bad woman. How do you deal with that? Well, you're not going to have, in a case like that, a marriage that is fulfilling and enriching, at least as long as the other partner stays in that mode. But you want to honor your vows, and there may not have been infidelity or something like that, but there may have been all kinds of abuse and misery associated with it. And we'll talk about how to deal with that. There are some things in life, even marriages, that have to be endured. But we can make them less endurable, or we can make them more endurable. And what does the Scripture have to say about that? We will tell you. We will talk at one point about expectations. We have had friends, like you've had friends over the years, and some of them have had long marriages, basically fulfilling marriages, but there are times I've seen them struggle, not because they weren't in love with each other, but I've seen them struggle over expectations. Although in my family, I'm probably more the romantic than my wife. Sometimes it is the man. Sometimes women, lots of times, they can be very romantic and idealistic. And that romanticism can set them up for a fall, for some unhappiness. And it's not because John Doe, the husband, or Mary Doe, the wife, is not performing as a husband or wife ought to be. It's just that they have a false set of expectations, and we'll talk about those. False expectations are a killer. Lose, I will say, the expectation of a divine right to a happy, fulfilling domestic situation. Some people are burdened by that. That may surprise you, but I will tell you that is no more a birthright than unmolested health into ripe old age. That is no more a birthright than a free country or a cushy job that pulls you out of bed in the morning. A divine right to a happy, fulfilling domestic situation is no more a birthright than a beautiful home with a 3-car garage, a beach house, and a college education. All those things are blessings. They are privileges. But, dear friends, they are not rights. The truth is, faith always has to do time in the hothouse in order to grow. Faith always has to do time among those furnaces of affliction that God may choose to test and refine your faith. And that could take the form of a trying or faithless spouse living with a loser. This may be a cross that in the mysteries of His providence God has chosen for you to bear. It's a testing one, but God has His good reasons. I will say, in most instances, at least in my experience, those who wind up with a loser can, and often do, look back on the choices that led to their union, and belatedly they realize that it should not have been a total surprise that the partner they chose turned out to be all that he or she promised. I know one person that comes to mind. She was and is a good woman, a godly woman. But she married a man who went into the ministry. He is a godless character, and I think I have reason to believe that he was also a criminal character. Very shady guy. Her mother had warned her just before the marriage that she had no confidence in this fellow. But she had not been experienced with men, and she ignored the advice of her mother. And, looking back, she realized that her all-discerning mom was right after all. But then it was too late. In our next study, we hope you'll tune in. We hope you'll get others to tune in who you know may really need this. We'll be talking from Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33, Marriage Without Regret, bringing your B-game. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.